Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Gold Coast Bhakti Centre. My name is Dhruva, and this is, I would like to welcome to the Bhakti Centre this evening His Holiness Hanuman Prasad Swami Maharaj. Hanuman Prasad Swami Maharaj is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada and has been travelling the world preaching for maybe 40 years now. He spends a lot of time speaking at universities about Sankhya philosophy and logic and reason and spirituality. And today is a great festival in the Gaudiya Vaishnav line. It's Govardhan Puja. So yeah, we'll be celebrating Govardhan Puja, and Maharaj is going to speak a little. Yeah, so without further ado, Hanuman Prasad Swami Maharaj. Yeah.
So
we're
going to tell
them.
We can
talk
till 8 o'clock.
And then finish the Dhammadarashtaka.
Dhammadarashtaka, and then we do arati for the hill, Govardhan Hill. Okay. We do parikrama, like, and then we distribute the prasad. Yes, please.
So, 8 o'clock is too late.
That's up to you, Maharaj.
A little less.
Yeah, a little less. Okay.
So, Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey.
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 Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama.
Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahima.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahima.
So we hear all about these pastimes from the Dwapara Yuga, when things were much different. We don't trust the scientists. Of course, there are devotees who are scientists, you know. But Albert Einstein, as you say, we're doing programs with Nobel laureates. And Albert Einstein said, Sri Albert Ubacha, that science is designed to deal with certain things, you know, certain gross phenomena. And when it starts to deal with, like, ultimate reality and all these things, even about, you know, different ages and all this kind of stuff, he said it's no longer science, it's scientism. Scientism. So there's no real way to know what was happening, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. Look at carbon dating, you'll find problems. And then now something happened, there was a collision of galaxies, you know, 190 million light years away. Same. Everything's the same, you know, even you go 250,000 miles away, you're on the moon. Gravity's different, it's in between. So much variety, the universe is so big. There was one Jesuit, which means he's a Brahmachari, everything else. The Jesuits, they have a lot of universities around the world, very successful. And we heard, this was William Stoger. He's also an internationally published astrophysicist. He was giving a nice lecture about, you know, the origin of the world, and he was talking about it, because if you want to understand something, you've got to kind of look at it from, you know, different angles, right? Like that, you know? Well, he's got two ears, okay? Two ears. You need a kind of a space window, look at something from a few angles like that. What is the universe? Well, let's take a look at it from some different angles here. Another one over some time. Let's kind of watch this person here and see what he does over 1 week. You know. So he said, if you had a time-space window to look at the universe from here to the nearest star, which is Alpha Centauri, and it's so far away it takes light 3 years to get here. Okay, that's a long way, you might think. So if you had that much different angle on the universe, and if you could look at it for 10,000 years into the past and 10,000 years into the future, the increase in information you'd be able to get, you know, would have absolutely no difference than just standing right here and taking one picture with a camera. Click. The universe you're describing is so ridiculously large and ridiculously old that any kind of observations and everything else are ridiculous. So anyway, why not? If you're going to be ridiculous, why not be a Hare Krishna? Who's better? Yeah. So, but none of that. And we have a whole systematic process of investigation, developing. It's very satisfying if you really have a scientific intention and perspective and so on. Very profound. And so, yeah, there really was a Dwarapara Yuga. Things were bigger, finer. People's thoughts had so much influence, you know. And right in the middle of this, the Krishna's pastimes are happening right at the end. They're recorded. So chapter 24 in the Bhagavatam Krishna book is describing this. And it says, worshipping Govardhan Hill. While engaged with the Brahmanas who were too much involved in the performance of Vedic sacrifices, Krishna and Balaram also saw that the cowherd men were preparing a similar sacrifice in order to pacify Indra, the king of heaven. Yeah. Who is responsible for supplying?
Rain.
Rain. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee of Krishna has a strong and firm faith in understanding that if he is simply engaged in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's transcendental loving service, then he is free from all other obligations. What is that verse? Anybody know? Any great scholars in the Bible? Pavi Shraddha Shabdi Vishvas Kahi. And actually, if you know about maybe like 80 verses, 85 verses, you'll know 75% of the verses that Prabhupada and the Acharyas use. It doesn't take that much. We have a philosophy, we have a structure, we have ideas. What is the universe? Who are we? What's the relationship? What is the spiritual world? But basically, you can pin most of it on just about like 80 verses. You know? But beyond that, of course, there are very, very specific things and more esoteric ideas and so on. You know? But this is a very common verse. Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahi. This word Shraddha, faith, means Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Kama Krita Hoy. That just by engaging in devotional service, everything else is going to fall in line. I was one time in Calcutta for organizing a program on science and religion. And sometimes there were like times when nothing was happening, you know, during the program. So I just started looking up 16 rounds on the database, 16 rounds. And it came back with something like, you know, 1,700 different citations. And a lot of them were just like lecturing, like in the initiation ceremonies, you know. And I already saw I didn't collect all the information and keep track of it, because the public basically was saying that if you chant 16 enthusiastic rounds, you know, under the order of the parampara, then your health will improve, your social family relationships will improve, people will respect your preaching, management will be at the end of your finger, there'll be no question of shortage of money. Everything will improve. You know? Krishna will never punish you for chanting 16 nice rounds. Aha, you got up and chanted 16 rounds. Go to hell. No, he'll always reward us. I make this choice, that choice. And there are many things to do, but maybe, okay, then I'm going to make the choice that this is my priority. So that's it. 16 nice rounds. And of course, nice rounds means you follow four principles, ethical behavior. So Prabhupada's saying this is devotee's conviction. If you just focus on this priority thing, then everything else will fall in line behind that. You know? A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is he required to worship any demigods. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship of the demigods. One time, as we've heard, Prabhupada was in New York, Sunday feast. He was looking at everybody, and he said, "Some of you in your last lives were great yogis and yoginis, and now you've come to this movement. And others of you were great gods and goddesses, and now you've come here. And the rest of you, you're fortunate." And one, "Is this a Jehovah's Witness temple?" "Yeah, coffee and donuts will be in half an hour." He said, "Sit down." So this is our situation where, you know, we've already done all these things. There's so many things. I have a suspicion. I'm just kind of coming in, but I'm visiting, traveling. I've been here before. But I have a suspicion there's a lot of other things you can do tonight, right? Besides be here, right? Saturday night, nothing happening. It's a dead city. No? Probably a lot of things being advertised, everything else. We choose to come here. Okay. So it must be very unusual people, you know, coming like that, being attracted, and so on. Yeah. One does not develop devotional service for Krishna by performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or worshiping the demigods. But it should be understood that one who is engaged fully in the service of the Lord has already fulfilled all Vedic injunctions. And again, Prabhupada's paraphrasing a specific verse. I think it's just the end of Lord Kapila Dev's instructions. But the devotee is like glorifying his instructions, Lord Kapila's instructions. In order to stop all such activities by his devotees, Krishna wanted to firmly establish exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan, because he is the omniscient. What does that mean? Omniscient.
Everywhere.
All knowing.
Yeah. Scient, science.
Scient, yeah.
Yeah. He knows everything. Omniscient. Omnipresent. Omnivoracious. Omnivorous. That means he eats everything. It's one purport where it says the absolute eats the brahmanas, eats everybody in the end. He's also omnivorous. Omniscient. Yeah. What else? All strength. Omnipotent.
Yeah.
Wow. Omnipotent. Yeah. Okay. He knew that the cowherd men were preparing for the Indra Yagna, but as a matter of etiquette, he began to inquire with great honor and submission from elderly personalities like Nanda Maharaj. Krishna asked his father, "Little boy, my dear father, what is this arrangement going on for a great sacrifice? What is the result of such a sacrifice? Yeah. And for whom is it meant? How is it performed? Can you kindly let me know? I am very eager to know this procedure. So please explain to me the purpose of this sacrifice." Okay. Upon this inquiry, his father Nanda Maharaj remained silent, thinking that his young boy would not be able to understand the intricacies of performing the yagna. Krishna, however, persisted, "My dear father, for those who are liberal and saintly, there are no secrets. They do not think anyone to be a friend or an enemy or a neutral party, because they are always open to everyone. And even for those who are not so liberal, nothing should be kept secret from the family members and friends, although secrecy may be maintained for persons who are inimical. Therefore, you cannot keep any secrets from me. All persons who are engaged in fruitive activities, all persons are. Some know what these activities are, and they know the results, and some execute activities without knowing the purpose or the result." Yeah. So he goes through making this argument. Actually, Krishna has his motive. Right? Yeah. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas have all these different conflicts with, you know, with Duryodhana and their cousins, and Yudhishthira's trying to avoid them in so many ways, everything else, left, right, trying to do the right thing. Yeah. very difficult, very complicated. And so finally, there's a notification from, I guess, Hastinapur or someplace, yeah, that their uncle and their cousins have invited them to forget all these things and have a friendly game of dice. Come for a friendly game of dice. We build a beautiful palace and everything else. And all this is on CNN, and it's all being broadcast. And
the old today, Duryodhan and his father invited the Pandavas for a friendly game of dice.
And so forth. And some other recreations, okay? Let's have a kama party and play and stuff. Yeah. So about this time, Krishna meets grandfather Bhishma, like that, you know? And he says, Pitamaha, granddaddy, granddaddy. And Bhishma says, yeah, what is it? What do you want? You know? He says, you're a Kshatriya, right? He says, yes, yes, sir. Yes, Vasudeva, I'm a Kshatriya. So I want to ask some charity from you. And so Bhishma says, all right, whatever it is, you know, of course. He says, everybody knows this is not like a simple game of dice. You know, there's some kind of like, you know, dirty dealings here the Pandava, the Kauravas are planning. And I think in the whole process, it's going to come to you to make a decision about what is dharma and what is adharma, what is righteous behavior and what is, you know, unrighteous behavior. So what I'm asking, that if it comes to you, you don't say anything like that. And so Bhishma thinking, he says, well, all right, okay, you asked me that, it's done. So it goes on this way and that way, and then it turns out that Duryodhana is not playing for himself. He has somebody else playing for him. You know?
Who?
Shakuni. Yeah. And why didn't he just refuse to go? Well, because he has his vow that now that his father is dead, his uncle is like his superior. So if his uncle's asking me, I have to go. You know? And also he has this addiction and stuff. So it goes left, right, back, forth, and he loses all his manservants and maidservants and goats and jewels and pearls and his whole kingdom. He loses his brothers. And finally, Shakuni says, do you have anything else to gamble? He says, I have. Draupadi. Okay. Yeah, so he even gambled himself away. So it goes on, and finally Dushasana drags Draupadi into the public assembly in this horrible place, you know, and everything else. And then they're saying, now you're just a maidservant. You know, there's some motivation for this because she scorned Duryodhana and kind of humiliated him, laughed at him in public, and now he's going to get his revenge, you know, so on, and desnude her in public. And, oh, horrible situation, horrible. So then she just turns to everybody asking for help, you know. She asks, you just steer the Pandava, they're just all looking at the ground. Now we're servants, we can't do anything. Drona, you know. And finally, in the Dhritarashtra. And then Dhritarashtra says, well, it's very, very subtle because, you know, your father, your husband agreed to gamble and this and that and everything else. It's very intricate. So and you're saying this is adharma, and Duryodhana is saying it's perfectly according to the rules of dharma. Yeah? And so whatever Bhishma says, I will accept. Yeah? So Bhishma Dev is about to say, of course, you idiots. You don't drag your daughter-in-law into a public place and try and tear her clothes off amongst all the respectable leaders of society. But, you know, just to tell them all this. Then he remembers, and he promised Krishna, he wouldn't say anything. He's thinking, my God, what is this? And he says, I can't say. And they all think that he means it's so subtle he can't do it. He says, I can't say. Yeah? He's thinking, such a difficult situation. Everything else. But, you know, Bhagavan is playing his game. Yeah. I'm sure behind all of this, I have faith that behind all of this, Krishna has his plan. And something's going to come out of this, even though it's so horrible, you know. So very, very, you know, good example we're talking about here is that Krishna's playing his game, right? And then for us who are like a little bit shaky, we may not get it, make it so sophisticated. But for really great devotees like Draupadi, you know, Kunti, who else, Arjuna, you know, everybody else, he pushes it. He pushes it a long way to take advantage of them. In the final end of everything, when Duryodhana is lying down with his back broken after the battle and all his friends dead and everything lost, you know, alone they're dying, And then somebody comes and sits down kind of next to him, and he doesn't even look at them. And sometimes he looks over, and it is Devaki Nandan, Krishna. He looks at him and says, okay, people say that you're the super soul, you know, all this kind of stuff, Dharma. What did I do wrong? What would I do to deserve this? Well, you tried to poison Bhishma, but he was always shaking us out of the trees and cracking our heads. Oh, okay. You tried to burn the Pandavas to death in the house of lacquer. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's politics. So one thing after another he had is like reasons about this and that and everything else. You know, he was actually a Rakshasa. He had taken birth as part of this program. So finally Krishna came down to Draupadi, and what he tried to do to Draupadi and everything else, he was going, that was too much. It's just basically a 14-year-old girl or something. That was too much and stuff. Okay, there's some justice in the world. So even him, Rakshasa, Krishna was able to help and stuff and bring him up like that. That there are certain things you just don't do. It's not just like, so on. So this is another pastime, and pretty much there's a couple things, but one of the main threads of motivation that Krishna is trying to accomplish is he's trying to bring Indra back down to size. Narada Muni is an incarnation of Krishna's Bhakti Shakti, Shakti Vesha avatar. The four Kumaras are incarnations of Krishna's knowledge potency. And Indra is an incarnation of what Shakti? Indra, Krishna's lusty nature. Nice clothes, beautiful wife, nice parties, restaurants, all these things. Lust and subtle and gross forms. So it's not surprising that every now and again Indra gets a little bit, confused by all this. When Lord Brahma walked off with the cowherd boys and everything else, he just kind of like put them to sleep and very carefully put them aside. When he came back after everything was finished and apologized to Krishna, Krishna kind of looked at him. But when Indra came and said, Indra was trying to kill the Vrijavasis, literally trying to kill them. He came and apologized, and Krishna said, "Oh, it's okay. We all have these kind of off days, and it's your nature, that's your position and stuff, and so on. If you didn't have that nature, you wouldn't do the job. King of heaven. So that's the whole thing. Is that somewhere it's here, or somewhere else, it says that Krishna accepts everybody's service. It's a very important fact. Krishna accepts everybody's service. And when somebody starts becoming proud and trying to like minimize other people and this kind of thing, then Krishna finds some way to bring that person back in proportion without hurting him. Without hurting him like that. So you see the same thing. It's one of the biggest reasons why all this is happening. So they're arranging a sacrifice. They have bananas, coconuts, pineapples, ghee, grain, samosa, all this stuff. Rooms full of cloth and ghee and everything else, all arranged in the Indra Yagna. So again, it's like somebody putting a very, very nice plate of prasadam in front of you and then saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, this is for somebody else." Taking it away. So not only is he going to arrange another sacrifice, he's taking everything away from Indra's sacrifice. And he's using a bizarre philosophy to do it, not even bhakti yoga, he's using karma mimamsa. So later on here is describing, the actual festival. After hearing the statement of Krishna about why we don't need to worship Indra, because everything is being controlled by karma anyway, Nanda Maharaj replied, "My dear boy, since you are asking, I shall arrange for a separate sacrifice for the local brahmanas and Govardhan Hill." Go means? Var means? The greatest. And Dana? Charity? The greatest giver of charity to the cows. Giraj Maharaj, need some grass on the hill. green food dye and coconut. Also behind there, see some behind there too, like nice drop behind it would be nice too. It's very beautiful. Okay. I shall arrange a separate sacrifice for local Brahmanas and Govardhan Hill. But for the present, let me execute this sacrifice known as Indra Yagna. Krishna replied, my dear father, don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and local Brahmanas will take much time. Better take the arrangements and paraphernalia you have already made for the Indra Yagna and immediately engage them in satisfying Govardhan Hill. I'm sorry we can't worship you, the King of Heaven. We're worshiping this hill in Brisbane. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Where is it here? Maharaj relented. Maharaj Nanda relented. The cowherd men then inquired from Krishna how he wanted the yajna performed. And Krishna gave them the following directions. Okay, we'll see if we can accomplish this now. Prepare very nice foods of all descriptions, from the grains and ghee for Indra, rice, dal, halva, pakora, puri, all kinds of milk preparation, sweet rice, rabri, sweet balls, sandesh, rasagula, and ladu. Invite the learned brahmanas who can chant the Vedic hymns and read the Krishna book and offer oblations to the fire. Swaha, you don't have that. Okay. I guess we're going to do it. We'll do the lamps. We'll do like Davadarastika. Okay. We're doing the whole thing. Okay? The brahmanas should be given all kinds of grains and charity. Then decorate all the cows and feed them well. After performing this, give money in charity to the brahmanas. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs and lower grades of people, such as chandalas or fifth class of men who are considered untouchable, they should also be given sumptuous prasad. After nice grasses have been offered to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately begin. This sacrifice will satisfy me very much. So Prabhupada says in the purport that everybody should be taken care of properly, that there's no problem. You're not going to be afraid that Krishna is supplying everybody's necessities in a sumptuous fashion. Sumptuous fashion. Not to say there's enough, don't waste anything, you know. And it's not really anything for poor people. No, it's enough for everybody. Prabhupada was given like some land in South India, and there'd be like four or five villages on it. And the devotees were wondering how to manage it. And Prabhupada said, anybody who follows the four principles on our property and doesn't create a disturbance is welcome. This is our standard. Anybody is welcome to come here. Don't create a disturbance and follow the four principles while you're here. You're welcome. And there'll be enough arrangement for everybody. Everybody. Yeah. Chris is very kind. Very kind. Okay. Yeah. The sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja is observed in the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya has recommended that since Krishna is worshipable, so is land, Vrindavan, and Govardhan Hill is also worshipable. Prabhupada says, every corner of our temples is Vaikuntha. Every corner of our temples is Vaikuntha. Prabhupada said, it's okay. Iskan Kidar. To confirm this statement, Lord Chaitanya said that Govardhan Puja is as good as worship of Him. From that date, Govardhan Puja has been going on and is known as Anakut. In all the temples of Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan, huge quantities of food are prepared in the ceremony and are very sumptuously distributed to the general population. Sometimes the food is thrown to the crowd and they enjoy collecting it off the ground. For this, we can understand that prasad offered to Krishna never becomes polluted or contaminated. Even if it's thrown on the ground, people collect it. Okay. Okay, so Krishna thus advised the cowherd men to stop the Indra-yagna and begin the sacrifice. The honest cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed Govardhan Puja, worshipping and circumambulating the hill. Yeah. Following the inauguration of Govardhan people, Puja, people still in Vrindavan dressed nicely and assembled near Govardhan Hill to offer worship and circumambulate the hill, leading their cows all around. According to the instructions of Krishna, Balananda Maharaj and the cowherd men called on learned brahmanas and began to worship Govardhan Hill by chanting Vedic mantras. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pasadvaranam Padham Tadas Sadapa Shanti Sudayo. That's from the Rig Veda. All the pujaris know it. They're very beautiful. The inhabitants of Vrindavan assembled, decorated their cows, gave them grass, keeping the cows in front. They began to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. The gopis dressed themselves very luxuriantly and sat in bull-driven carts chanting the glories of Krishna's pastimes. The brahmanas assembled there to act as the priests at Govardhan Puja, offered their blessings to the cowherd men and their wives and gopis. When everything was complete, Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that he himself was Govardhan Hill. Yeah. In order to convince the devotees that Govardhan Hill and Krishna are identical, then Krishna began to eat all the food offered there. The identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temples. The followers of Krishna consciousness movement may therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as the deity worship. This is a very controversial phrase, because in the dictation tapes, Prabhupada corrected those. It goes back and forth about whether Prabhupada wants ISKCON devotees. The form of Krishna who began to eat the offerings was separately constituted. And Krishna himself, along with the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, offered obeisances to the deity. There he is, right there. As well as Govardhan Hill. To the deity as well as Govardhan Hill. So it's Govardhan Hill, the deity, okay. And then Krishna offering obeisances. Three entities. In offering obeisances to the huge form of Krishna and Govardhan Hill, Krishna declared, "Just see how Govardhan Hill has assumed this huge form and is favoring us by accepting all these offerings." Krishna also declared at this meeting, "One who neglects the worship of Govardhan Hill, puja, as I am personally conducting it, will not be happy." Not be happy. There are many snakes on Govardhan Hill in Australia. And persons neglecting prescribed duty of Govardhan Puja will be bitten by those snakes, okay, and killed. My God. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance is conducted out of fear. Oh Krishna, please don't bite me. In the mode of passion, oh Krishna, I want to buy a new car. In the mode of goodness, out of duty, I understand what's going on. And then in love, pure love of God is a spontaneous affection for Krishna. In order to assure the good fortune of the cows and themselves, all people of Vrindavan near Govardhan must worship the hill as prescribed by me. End quote. Thus, performing Govardhan Puja sacrifice, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan follow the instructions of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, and afterwards they return to their respective home. God. So Papa Ki Jai. Any comments or anything? But it's very, very auspicious. You can go talk for a long time. Raghunath Das Goswami has a poem all about Govardhan Hill and its glories. There's a history of how it got there. It's a person. Yeah. And a history of why it's disappearing into the earth. And also, again, this whole fact about this all took place in a different age. And now Govardhan is there. It's there. Why would people be observing these things for so long? Just some kind of stupid superstition? No. We were at Nainisharanya, not too far from Lucknow, and we were there on Amavasya, a new moon day. And normally it's just a very sleepy little village, and there's a spring where the water comes out and goes into the Gomati. But it's considered the faith, the center of the universe, and all these subtle things are going on. And so every Amavasya, 10,000 people come. Little village, peaceful. There's two police guys with their feet up in front of some fire. with the radio on there in case somebody calls them. But Amavasya, all these people come, and yogis and all the ashrams fill up and everything else like that. And everybody bathes in Chakratirtha. If it comes on a Monday, Somatita Amavasya, 100,000 people come. Even, you know, this wasn't too long ago. And for what? For thousands of years, you know, so all these Hindus are so stupid, they go on doing these stupid, meaningless rituals for thousands of years because they're so stupid, not intelligent like us Vikings. We Vikings are very, very smart. You know, we figured it all out. Yeah. So I was there one disciple, actually Rock Top Das. We were all there visiting. Yeah. And okay, we were good Hindus. We got up in the morning. We went down very early, maybe like 6 o'clock or something. And we were there also, you know, that day. And we thought, okay, we gotta bathe and stuff. We'll just do this. And, you know, it's a ritual. So I went in, and I came out, and I was smiling. It was just all this energy. Rock Talk came out. He was also smiling. You know? Everybody did it. It works. It worked. My God. Yeah. 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 These things work. When we organized programs, the first World Congress for a Synthesis of Science and Religion, George Wall, Nobel laureate, Charles Townes, Nobel laureate, Dalai Lama, several programs like that with scientists, everything else. And there are many scientists who are very quite honest about their profession, and they admit science is for a certain thing. It's good for that. So, and but they're looking for a broader paradigm. They're coming in contact with so many new phenomena. Charles Townes, Nobel Prize for physics, he discovered the laser. He told us that, you know, Newton and all these people, they put it together at a certain time and explained things very nicely. But then new things started coming with the microscopic world, the atomic world, and we couldn't put it together. Then Schrodinger, you know, James Jeans, Einstein, they came and put it all together. Okay. The same thing is happening now. There's more and more and more discoveries which cannot be explained by our present description of the world by science. So we were offering these facilities, our perspective, and we were saying, yes, it appears that ancient Indian and Chinese sages weren't fools. They had tremendous knowledge about things. You know? It's a matter of being able to take it and put it in modern perspective. And that's our job, right? Understand this and put it in the perspective that people could understand. You know? Everybody's got a different kind of circle, a different kind of associates. Lord Chaitanya says, Prabhupada quotes it many times, Yare Deke, Tari Koha, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Agnai Guru Hai, Tari Adesh. Wherever you go, wherever you meet, tell them about Krishna. What do you tell them? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Spend some time. Do the austerity. Hear, listen, read, talk. You know? And just tell people Krishna about things. And Krishna will send people. If you have the potency, Krishna will send people. You know? And you can give them the books directly. The easy thing. Amar Agnai, Lord Chaitanya says, on my order, Guru Hai, become guru, right? And deliver your circle like that. So every one of us has this option, right? Responsibility. We all have different kinds of people we're coming in contact with. We have so much facility to read the literature and have some association, develop a little bit of a systematic idea, experiment, try it out, it works, you know. And then we can just give people what we know. One devotee, he was an alcoholic, okay? my friend, you know, Bill W. And he always, you know, he was pretty much had by Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff that controlled the situation, but every now and again, sometimes a little bit, this and that. So he never was formally initiated. But so many people would just tell him, go to the Hare Krishna temple, go to this program, it's nice. And he would just describe, you know, what he knew, you know. And Krishna's satisfied with that. Everybody's different. Everybody has different ability, nature, and so on. You know? When we were going into Valparaiso in Chile one time, and one dog joined us, like this big. He was chanting and barking with us, and all the other dogs came and followed him. Like that. So after a while, we had about like 8 dogs going along with us. They were chanting and stuff. And he would, you know, they understood, you know, something here. So everybody, even a dog, can take part, right, and dance and that. So we've been doing ourselves and mentioning some programs in academic areas and stuff, and very successful, very useful. So today is a very auspicious day, very good opportunity to circumambulate, you know, Govardhan Hill, keeping the cows in front, where the gopis luxuriously dressed, what else we got, yeah? And then Krishna will appear, you know, accept our worship, and be pleased with us. So any questions or Yes, sir.
Last year, the same time, Rakta Prabhu was here. It was the last program, and the same day as well, it was Govardhan.
Okay.
And I really miss, I think not only me, all the whole Bhakti Center missing.
Yes.
He told me, if you circumambulate Govardhan Mountain once, you don't get bitten by the snake for the whole year.
Oh, okay. It's good, especially in Australia. Especially if you live on Govardhan. But not just, you know, it's like literally speaking, but it's in the material world. The material world is full of people who are looking to hurt somebody else. That's just the material world. There's no real reason people want to hurt somebody else because they're suffering so much, right? So we worship Krishna like this and we'll be, you know, free from these envious snake-like mentality which is floating around everywhere. Yeah? So now we do what?
We do Damodaras.
Okay. Okay, Shri Shri Kartik Vrata Ki Jai. Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. My God. Wow. Mysterious.